windy today.
Oh, it's Thursday.
So am I. Let's go have a drink. Welcome to Brookings Cafe. There's just no telling who might be here today as we venture in to quench our thirst. We call it our Great American Debate. We come to the discussion in the spirit of fairness and an attempt to offer something conclusive. We don't claim to be experts, but we will strive to come to the table prepared to discuss our topic. We are going to extend invitations to those we think may offer an opposing point of view, and in some cases we may extend a challenge to specific people or groups to defend their point of view. Beware, we fact-check anything that sounds questionable, and we look dimly on mere opinions that aren't based in knowledge. We are trying to reach some sort of a resolution, something that both sides can settle on as an idea worth promoting.
Okay, welcome to another session of Discussions at Brookings Cafe. My name is Ray Gary, and tonight we're going to be discussing the paranormal. Now, before we get very far into this, when I went around talking to people to see if they wanted to be on a show about the paranormal, they wanted to know what I call paranormal, and when I said things like, seances and fortune tellers and things like that, people were saying, that's not abnormal, that's perfectly normal. So I'm going to consult my little paranormal box here, and we're going to get the little paranormal box ghost's definition of paranormal, and that's what we'll use tonight. Define paranormal.
Paranormal means denoting events or phenomena such as telekinesis or clairvoyance that are beyond the scope of normal scientific understanding.
Thank you, Spirit. You may leave now.
Now that was Abby normal.
Okay, start out. Let me introduce Pi White, who's twisting the knobs and sliding the sliders here. He's going to be recording and editing this show and engineering it. And then we'll go around the room. Everybody can introduce themselves. We'll start with you, Bruce, and maybe just a couple of words of what you have brought to the table tonight.
Oh, yeah. Well, you asked me about Come On Paranormal. I'm Bruce Ellis here. I'm with the Insider of Southern Oregon, the entertainment newspaper, the Insider Report, and the Magical Musical History Tour on KCIW. That's right. Yeah. You asked me if I wanted to be on the show, if I had some paranormal experiences, because I've been doing some articles in the Insider, and I do have some stories there and a few of my own. So, yeah, that's why I'm here. So,
hi, I'm Marcia Thibodeau, and I have some experiences that I don't think I can explain.
And I'm Teresa Lawson, and I'm interested to hear your experiences, because everything I thought might have been paranormal, I think, is easily explained. And so I'm kind of a skeptic.
And I'm Dan, and I'm another skeptic. I guess I would kind of describe myself as being an agnostic in a sense, so that if something did happen that I couldn't explain or whatever, I might have a different explanation for it. I've had plenty of experiences in my life that I could not explain, but actually I did. most of them when I was under the age of 10, but we'll go on from there.
Hi, I'm Kid Stubbs. I own a store here in town called Gypsies. And one doesn't get to be this age without having had a couple of those paranormal experiences, and I've heard many, many, many of them.
Hi, and this is Shirley Hyatt, and I have had quite a few things that I would call in the paranormal. I looked it up differently than Ray did, but what I got is that it's not scientifically explainable, and it is not visible. Usually, it transcends the laws of nature, etc., etc. And people think of it as spirits and ghosts, and that's kind of where I am with it.
Okay. Anybody have? Should we start out with you, Bruce? Do you have an experience you want to relate?
Oh, I got a few. I mean, well, first I just want to say, even though I played in the Christmas Carol, I played the ghost of Jacob Marley and also the ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. I am not affiliated with any ghost organization, so I just want to clear that right now on the air. But, yeah, actually.
You're not in the union?
I'm not paying any ghostly dues or anything like that. I have been a ghostwriter before, though, so that I don't know how to say. That might count.
Maybe we should caution you. You may be violating some type of union rules or something tonight.
I could, but you know what? I'll just disguise myself.
Maybe a knock on your door tonight, but go ahead. Not by a ghost, but by ASCAP or something.
Well, you know, it's really amazing because growing up and everything like that, you know, you grew up with ghost stories and all that good stuff and heard all the stories. And I've been to the, you know, the haunted houses, you know, hey, that house is haunted and don't go in it and blah, blah, blah. And are moving to a spooky old house, you know, from way back when, and it's got a spooky basement or something like that. But I never encountered anything myself. But, you know, as I said, I have been doing, there's some local places around here. You know, we have ghost towns in Oregon here, and I've been putting them in the Insider, as I said, like Wolf Creek Tavern up there in Wolf Creek Inn. I went to them just to check them out and everything like that. Never had any experience, of course. And now the one cool thing that happened was I went to Golden, Oregon. It's right out there outside of Gold Hill. It's a ghost town. And I was telling you about this the other day, but when we went to the town, I went to go check it out. I walked in through the town and everything, and I didn't see anything. It was in the afternoon, of course. I guess you'd have to be there at midnight or something to get the full experience. But went there through the afternoon. The one thing that did happen, though, was they have two tombstones there in this little lot. And when I walked over and I looked down at the tombstones, the name on it, one of the tombstones was Marion Ellis, my last name. And I was like sitting there going, well, you know, when Ray was saying that the other day, he goes, well, there's a lot of people that name Ellis and everything like that. And I go, well, you know what? You go up to Golden there sometime. And if you go there, look at that tombstone. And if it says Marion Gary, you will be a believer. Because I'm, I just was thinking about that the other day when you,
I would probably
said that.
Try to go back into court records and see if there were any people that hadn't found in the will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, as you said, Ellis is, my name got cut down from Ellison. So, yeah, you do the math how many came across.
My name got cut down from about a four-syllable Italian name.
So. Oh, there you go. Very cool. So, anyways, but, you know, so just checking out local, you know, local ghost towns and areas like that is cool. But I did have two experiences, which if I would have known the places were haunted, it would have taken on a whole new meaning, because I went and stayed at a Jacksonville Inn. And then at the McClellan House up there in Jacksonville, and apparently they've had haunted sightings there, which I, a couple years later, investigated and, you know, was sitting there doing this research, and I saw that they were haunted, and I was like going, well, yeah, those bumps in the night would have been a whole nother ball game there. If I'd have known that, it would have been a whole better article, that's for sure. But that's about it for me. But what happened was, but I was dating a girl back in Virginia, and this is where I, like, the skepticism on me dwindled a little bit, because if you were sitting in there and you saw the looks on their faces when they were telling me this, and it was both of them at separate times, but the girlfriend told me one time about how they lived in Gettysburg, and that's a haunted town and everything like that, and she actually did the haunted tours in the area, and her daughter lived in a supposedly haunted house. Well, she told me that, you know, the doors would be open, windows would be open, closed. They knew they had spirits in there, and it was supposedly like a guy and a gal and a little kid. So they didn't know who they were or anything, but she told me the whole went on and about it, you know, and how they different encounters they had with them and everything, her and her daughter. Well, I was sitting there going, okay, whatever, you know, there's your story, you know, and all that good stuff. But I caught her daughter on the side, and I walked over without mom being around, and I just asked her, you know, about the ghost in Gettysburg. And she just looked at me and straight on, like she was talking, like you were talking to, I'm talking to you. She just looked at me and went, oh, yeah. Yeah, they used to babysit me and they'd hang out and they kept me company when mom was gone and stuff like that. And it was, she talked about it like it was real. And I just went there and went, okay, that was a, so there's my ghostly, that's the closest I ever came to actually somebody who did.
If there's any place in the world that would have ghosts, that would be one of them.
Get it, wouldn't you think?
I will say this, though. One of the only times I had kind of a woo-woo feeling or whatever you want to call it, or feeling like there were presence, was in the Tower of London.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not a Gettysburg,
absolutely.
But certainly
sure.
Had enough people killed there. But
well, they said Gettysburg is the most haunted, one of the most haunted places
really?
Around. So, yeah, there you go. So that's mine.
I think we better let Shirley go
I
next.
Think so. She's going to explode she's kinda over there. She's going to make a specter of herself.
Yeah, no, I was just laughing because I was getting a kick out of your delivery. That's all, you know.
It's always in the delivery.
Yeah, right. No, but when you were saying that, you know, one of the reasons that people believe in the idea that there's leftover energy, for example, a lot of energy, if somebody dies violently or in some way, evidently, scientifically, we are all energy. Everything is energy. So that kind of sudden loss of life or the person, first of all, you have to believe that there's more to you than your body. There has to be a belief system that goes with it, I think, that says you have a soul or a spirit which separates from the earthly body. And in that way, you can say, well, then that spirit is hanging around because it can't quite believe that, hey, that didn't happen to me. I'm still here, or whatever, in response to the Gettysburg thing. But I also think that there are a lot of people who believe that they have a guardian angel, and I do subscribe to that. I do think that there's an assignation that says the person out of this world is sort of there to take care of you, to let you know if you really get into trouble, to tell you, hey, don't cross the street because the car is coming. You know, those little things, but also in deep times of trouble that they might impress upon you information that is healing or helpful, very helpful.
Can I get a new guardian angel?
Yeah. Don't you like your old one?
No. It has not directed me out of a whole lot of things that I wish I hadn't
done.
Oh,
did you ask?
No.
Oh, well, there you go. You
have to ask?
Absolutely.
I always said I had two guardian angels. I had to have. I wouldn't live this long otherwise.
The nuns used to say you had a guardian angel on one side and a bad thing on the other side.
Oh,
is that right?
That's that Bugs Bunny cartoon.
No. That was the nuns. Go ahead, Shirley. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No. I could go on and on and on. Let's give somebody else a chance. I often do go on and on. But I'm just coming from that particular place of saying, for me, to have some belief in the paranormal or however it displays itself, I first have to believe that we have spirit that separates from our earthly body. So I'm going to let kids say something here.
Well, I'm with you, Shirley. I believe that we're all energy and everything is energy. But sticking with the paranormal, I can remember this lady. I met this lady and she came into the store one time, a long time ago. And she said that she lived in this house and it was haunted. And she knew who it was and the whole bit. So she invited me to come out. So I said, can I bring friends? I'm not going to go anywhere without some friends, right? So three of us went out to the house, and she's telling us about this entity that's living in there. And not a mean one, but a nice one. But he lives in the bathroom, generally speaking. So later in the night, I went into the bathroom, and she said, keep the light off. So I'm in there with the light off, and all of a sudden, I felt this something going through my hair. And it was like, needless to say, it was a jump up, it was a turn the light on, and it was a scream, and I was out of there. So there are, and I have had many, many friends that have really dealt with it, that they know what they're doing. That lady had the paranormal TV program out, so she really did know what she was talking about. But it's definitely out there. There's so much out there that to start in would take us all night.
I've watched some of those paranormal TV shows. My wife likes them, and there's some she says are real, and some she says, oh, those are fake. How she tells the difference, I don't know, because they're all going around at night hearing thumps that nobody else, including the microphone, hears. And lately they've got these little gauges or something that they're getting vibrations or something. But the thing I've always wondered about those, every now and then you'll hear breath sounds saying something. And why do ghosts have to breathe? Or why do they make footsteps?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows the answer, though.
Okay. How come nobody can get a good shot of a UFO or a Bigfoot with the cameras that we have nowadays?
Well, speaking of Gettysburg, there's some ghost that lives in a house there, and one of those shows where somehow they got the ghost to talk, or there was some secret about this woman ghost, and finally the woman said, "I'm pregnant." Well, in the days of Gettysburg, a woman did not use that term at all in any way, but. Anyway.
No.
Good facts, right?
Yes.
Okay, Bruce, you just said, why aren't there photos? And in preparation of coming here, I did some just research on articles, proof of UFOs or paranormal, skeptic, it doesn't exist. And UFOs were not really a thing until the 1940s. And when we started having, you know, balloons, weather balloons, and a lot of aircraft and those sort of things, and we were starting to talk about going to space. And so Roswell happened in the late 40s, I think 47. And that was a big conspiracy. And, you know, I mean, it's a great story. Everybody, I remember as a child, UFOs, and, you know, it's fun. It's like believing in the Easter Bunny or the Sandman to put you to sleep at night. I think we like fantasy. Look how fantasy movies go. But this article said that reports of all of this are way down. since like 2014, the paranormal reports are way down. And with everyone having a smartphone, if something happened, you should be, it should get recorded.
That's about when Netflix started, isn't it? Netflix, people are inside watching shows on Netflix and Amazon, but go ahead.
Yeah, but
who's on first?
It really makes sense that as we become more, like everything's videotaped, whether it's surveillance cameras or whether it's your personal phones, and I know people say, well, it doesn't record. And yet, if you can hear it, I think your phone can hear it too. I don't buy that. If the human ear can hear it, it's going to get picked up on the phone.
Except they're magic.
Well,
why do UFOs have to fly around with their lights on?
Well, they don't.
They do.
It's always the lights. What do you think?
So as technology has become more and more advanced, I have a harder and harder time believing. I love the ghost stories. I went on the Queen Mary and toured it, and they tell about all the ghost stories on it. It's fun. And we want to believe in magic when things are rough, like Shirley said. You know, the idea of the guardian angel or something that can help us. I always hope that there was intelligent life that was really intelligent that would come down here and tell us everything we were doing wrong to our planet, and this is the way you fix it.
Well, I'm going to get to that. After Marsha.
But as the years have gone on, I really don't. I think most things can be explained. And I think it's human nature to want to believe in these things, but I need proof. I'm a scientist, I guess.
Marsha.
Yes, well, I heard a lot of people talk to me about experiences that they had. People I respected, people over many years told me experiences they had, and I certainly believe in intuition. And I thought maybe that's what it was. I've had two major experiences, one very negative and one very positive. The positive one, I lived in Santa Cruz, and I had some friends that bought a piece of property near Morro Bay, I think. No, actually, anyway, it was kind of near Santa Cruz, and we went up to look at the property, and it was very beautiful, near the ocean, redwood trees, and they said, well, there are a lot of Native American artifacts that are all around the property. And so as we walked around, there was this huge tree that was hollowed on the inside, and they said, well, go inside and check it out because we're thinking of making it a meditation room. So I walked in by myself, and in a few seconds, three Native American faces of women were before my eyes. Not the bodies, no voice, just the faces, and telepathically, they I can just say gave a message to me because there was no voice that I had lost everything in past lives and that I was going to be living more communally in this life. So I stepped out of the tree and I said to my friends, did you see that? I mean, this is crazy. And they had not gone in the tree. They didn't see it. I can't explain it, but it happened and I've never forgotten it. It didn't change my life. But it made me wonder more if these type of things happen if you're more open to them. Well, you want to hear the negative one? Okay, I was at a friend's house maybe 20 years ago, and I was sleeping upstairs in the bedroom, and I woke up in the morning, and there was pressure on my chest, just pressing me down to the bed. I tried to move. I couldn't move. I tried to sit up. I couldn't sit up. And I kept yelling, help, help, help. Finally, my friend came up the stairs, and then I was released. I don't understand it. I was wide awake. The pressure was as though someone very strong was pushing me into the mattress. So I know what happened to me. I don't know what happens to other people. But I respect what happened, and eventually we had someone come and bless the house. Did that make a difference? I don't know. I never spent another night there, but the person who owned the place told me that periodically things would move around in the room, and no one was touching them. So I know what happened to me.
Okay, but you can't recognize that person in case he wants to become a Supreme Court justice someday.
No help.
after the blessing, did it stop?
The person was not seeing anything, but, you know, and they lived there for quite a few years after. So is that connected? I don't know. It didn't stop, appeared to.
Okay, I'll go on with mine. I've never seen a ghost or heard footsteps or breathing, or certainly never had anybody guiding me to do the right thing.
Well, it didn't feel, it felt like it was a very scary, whatever it was very frightening.
Isn't that a common dream, though, like you're being held down?
I wasn't asleep. I was trying to get up. I could not get up. I was pressed down to the mattress. So I'm not asking you to believe it. I'm just saying that's what happened to me. And I felt that the three Native American faces were benevolent. It was wonderful energy. I'm glad I saw it. I wasn't on any drugs. I wasn't hallucinating. It's just those are my experiences.
Well, all right, let me jump in here.
Okay.
And because the question is, how do you know when you're hallucinating? There's a guy named Oliver Sacks who wrote a book called The Man Who Thought That His Wife Was a Hat. And he legitimately thought that his wife was a hat. I mean, it was an experience that he had. I remember reading one of his case studies in which he had a woman who, as a patient, he was a neurologist, by the way, in addition to writing books, so he studied the brain quite a bit. And one of the things that he talked about with this woman was that she had hallucinations. She knew they were hallucinations, but they were just as real as all of us sitting in the room and looking at each other. But the difference was is that they would click on and they would click off. And he points out that the power of the brain to reconfigure your reality completely is amazing. The brain does amazing things. And you also have something called subconscious awareness, which even though you're not consciously paying attention to which way the traffic's coming, your subconscious nonetheless is kind of serving there as a little safety, so that if you start to step off the curb, something's going to tell you that no, this isn't a good idea. And then you look up and suddenly you're aware, consciously aware, that there's a bus there about to smack you. But otherwise it was just roaming around in your subconscious. And the other thing that I want to bring up is that there's a guy named James Randi, and he was a magician, Randi the Magnificent, and he was famous for many, many years. And back in 1964, he offered a $1,000 prize, and that prize got escalated to $1 million. And it was finally terminated in 2015, and it was pretty much because they had made a big, long run of trying to give away this $1 million prize. And I saw a number of shows. Randi also had a TV show.
Tell what he was going to give the prize for.
He was going to give the prize for anybody who could demonstrate, basically under controlled situations, that could demonstrate that any kind of paranormal anything.
Houdini did that a long time ago. He did the same thing. He challenged all paranormal. Absolutely, yeah.
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 Yeah. And Randi went on. He had a show in which he debunked people right and left. And yep. One of the ones that I saw, which is mentioned in this Wikipedia thing that I've got up on the computer here, was that he did it was a dowser experiment. And they set up essentially an area, I think it was 10 meters by 10 meters, and there was water in pipes and water in pockets and whatnot, and the dowsers came in. And he was just looking to see if they could nail anything any better than chance. And they failed miserably. There were lots of those little shows that I watched. I think it was a regular 30-minute program. He never gave away the $1 million.
But what about you? You're talking about other people debunking. Have you decided in your own life that you've never had anything that you could say, oh, I really didn't understand that, so maybe it was...
No, I've had lots of those experiences. And Marcia was talking about feeling pressed and couldn't get up. And I know that when you are in REM sleep, when you're coming out of that, you have no control over your body. I suffer from PTSD, and and this is from Vietnam, and the most common experience for me is a nightmare. And the nightmare... is generally I'm under fire, explosions are happening, all of that sort of stuff, and I am trying to get out, but I can't. I can't move. And the experiences are so incredibly real, and you know, I feel like that I'm being held down, if you will, that same kind of thing. Well, so then some psychologist that I was talking with who was trying to explain PTSD or nightmares to me a little bit, was pointing out that when you're going through the REM sleep, you're waking up and you have these very vivid dreams, but you don't have any physical mobility because your body is essentially paralyzed. And in my case, I'm not able to move because I'm in that state of sleep. So then I finally reached the point where I wake up and I realize that I'm coming back to a different reality, that reality isn't there anymore. And I feel really, really relieved about it. Go ahead.
Okay, I got to step in on this one too. Marcia, when you were saying that about you were awake.
I was wide awake.
Okay, I've had that experience. And the same thing. It was daylight though, and I woke up and I could not move. And it's almost a panicky feeling that you have. It was like I couldn't move at all, nothing. And then all of a sudden it came back. So years later, somebody was telling me that it's like you leave your body at night, mm-hmm. and then it was just that I hadn't gotten back into my body yet. I like that explanation a heck of a lot better.
I was going to go in that same direction, Kid, because there is a huge school of thought about the spirit leaving the body at night and traveling, and those dreams, a lot of them are the ones that remember are the realities of wherever it is and wherever we travel out of our body. And I've had that experience of coming back into my body and moving again. So you don't have to believe that, but when people experience it, you know it. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't experienced it in that way, then you'll just say, well, that sounds goofy. But, you know, it's like anything like this. If you haven't experienced it, it's very hard to say to somebody, this is what happened to me. You know, you can say, well, yeah, your subconscious is where, that may be true, you know. Mm-hmm. But what explains your record player suddenly turning on in the middle of the night, for example? A malfunction of some kind, obviously. Mm-hmm. But how come it only happened once? Or how come it only happened at 2 a.m? Or how come it only happened in a certain place? Mm-hmm. Those are the unexplained. Those are really the unexplained.
Yeah,
somebody sneaked in and did it.
I would say I'm not particularly impressed by the record player turning on in the middle of the night. I mean, it was an oven that came on all by itself, and the guy who came out to repair it said, "Yeah, these things happen. These mechanical switches sometimes they get dirty, and it can do that kind of thing." So no, I mean. To me, especially after reading Oliver Sacks' books on his experiences with his patients, I came away understanding that the reality that I think I'm living in right now can be replaced instantly by my brain to a completely different reality. Does that make it real? In one sense, yeah, I would say yeah, because I think basically everybody's living in an illusion, so to speak. But to have a different reality suddenly set into my mind, to me, that's within the easy explanation of modern-day psychology. And then when I look at things like the fact that there were thousands of attempts with Randy the Magnificent, his challenge, to claim $1 million, and nobody ever claimed it.
Where does your body go when it leaves?
Where does your body go?
No, your spirit. What leaves you when you're sleeping?
Well, your essence or your spirit. But
it
you
goes
know,
to New Jersey.
It goes to Jersey.
Yeah, warehouse up there in New Jersey.
Yeah, it goes on the roller coaster. Yeah. No, but, you know, again, you have to suspend belief in certain things in order to allow yourself to believe differently. Mm-hmm. And kid knows what I'm talking about. Again, I think that as a culture, we have been taught, and I'll just go to the Christian culture specifically, because most of us have probably had that in our world more than any other religious thought. But there's a very, very, very vivid belief system in that when you die, your spirit goes to heaven. I mean, your body doesn't go to heaven, your spirit goes to heaven. And that spirit is the part of you that lives and is, if you're good, you get to go to this wonderful place, you know, and if you're bad, you have to go to this horrible place. Well, those are either really imaginary or they're just some ridiculous punishment or gift handed out to people to say, you know, Santa Claus will bring you a nice toy if you're a good girl. But, you know, there's something in all cultures about something beyond what we have here. And if you want to call it interplanetary or, you know, what is heaven? Is it, do we create it in our own head? Is there such a place? A lot of people believe in it, and they live their life just so that their spirit will go there. And so if there is such a thing, then who's to say there aren't people walking among us who are guardian angels in some sense? I don't know. I'm just throwing out some ideas.
Well, look, you didn't even touch on purgatory. I mean, forget about it. You go there. I mean, you got heaven, you got hell. What if earth is purgatory? There's a theory. Yeah.
If you can accept this being good and going to heaven stuff, then you can accept the other spirit stuff too, I suppose.
Okay. Well, how about past lives? I've had a distinct past life.
I was going to talk about my past life experience, but go ahead.
Oh, I had one that was so vivid, I actually lived the whole thing, and there were people in this life that were in that past life, and I was an Indian, and it's a long story, but I'll never, ever forget it. So go ahead with yours, Ray.
No, we have time. I'll tell mine. It's become obvious while we're talking that I think a lot of this stuff is very silly. But many years ago, I've always kind of had a strange feeling about like World War II and things like that. I went to visit a friend of mine who had recently been drafted, and he was living in World War II barracks. And I had all these deja vu experiences, and the music from the World War II era is I'm kind of taken by. Anyway, I went to this past life experience thing, and what it was is the facilitator. It was a class. It was about 20 of us, I think, and he broke us up into groups of 3, 4, 5 people, generally 4 or 5, and he would hypnotize the group, and we would just sit. And I think we were holding hands, but I really don't want to admit that if we were. but anyway, and you would just kind of sit there and think or not think, whatever they call it when you're in a hypnotized situation. And then one person would say, I see a fireplace, a stone fireplace. And then another person would say, is it in a room and where are you and that type of thing. And everybody would add something to it. And it really felt like you were seeing that thing at least before the person said, do you see a carpet on the floor or do you see this or do you see that? And I was through about, I don't know, 4 of those. And I've always had I was born in Brooklyn and I grew up on Long Island, but I always had an affinity for farm animals and horses and things like that. So this one past life I was in, I was about 10 or 12 in the Dust Bowl in the Midwest. I walked out across the road that was in front of our house and into a barn and things like that. And it's pretty vivid. And everybody who was there was part of this same thing, different family members and stuff. The whole idea of this past life thing, going back a little bit, is that everybody we meet, or almost everybody we meet on a daily basis, we've met before in other past lives. And sometimes you meet somebody and you click with them immediately. You're just chatting and you're just having a grand time. Other times you meet somebody and you dislike them almost instantly. These were people who you had bad experiences with. So I think I did about 4 of these sessions in different...
Regressions?
I'm sorry?
Are you looking for the word regression? Were you
regressed? Like regression, yes.
Yeah, you
regressed.
Oh,
no, I wasn't looking for that word, but thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Another one, I was a sailor during World War II and apparently washed up on a beach dead. Another one, interesting one, I was in Egypt in a pyramid that was being painted and prepared for a funeral, I guess. And my position was I was a bimbo. I was with some mucky muck who was on an inspection tour and making sure everything was going all right. And I was just a babe that was wandering around with him. One of the things that came out in this thing that we all experienced is that there was sand on the floor of the pyramid. And all these people were painting. And the sand was wet and was being kept wet. And we surmised that possibly the sand was being kept wet to keep the humidity up so that they could finish the painting before it dried. And none of us, at least, they never tell me if they did. Nobody ever looked up to see if that actually happened in the pyramids or even if it's known. One of the stories the instructor told that in previous groups they'd had people that were part of big parades or something in ancient times, and they've actually looked up the dress of the people that were in these parades, and they actually did exist. So anyway, I found it to be very interesting. I don't know that I 100% believe in it, but I certainly think to me anyway, reincarnation makes more sense than you die and you go to heaven if you're good.
I agree. I'll tell you a little bit about the Indian one. I was in Sedona, and I'd been out there for about a week, and it was I was there for the releasing technique, learning how to do the releasing technique. And this guy had a car. One of the guys had a car, and he was going to take a bunch of us around the whole area so that we could just see. It was beautiful, the big, you know, like you felt like Indians were up on the top of those
mesas
that were all around you and the whole bit. Well, we're walking along, and we'd been looking at this place that was kind of a big crevice in the earth. And the guy was walking back, and I was walking with him, and the rest of the group stayed behind a little bit. And he said, "Look." And he was looking up at the sky, and he said, "Look, it's an eagle." Then he said, "No, it's a hawk." And I looked up there, and when I looked down, I could see this Indian, and he was on a painted horse, and he was going away from me. Kind of just slumped over, kind of hair was just kind of disarray, and I started to sob. I sobbed, and the rest of the people came up and they said, "What's wrong?" And the guy that was ahead of me, he said, "Don't worry, she's just having a past life experience." And that's exactly what it was. I could see it so plain, and the story went on and on, but it was so interesting that I actually saw it, and I knew it was me. So, yeah, I do believe in past lives.
Well, I want to go to the dream state and what the mind can do. I have experiences that I can explain to myself, but other people, if they had them or heard me tell them, might have a different interpretation. When I am laying in bed getting ready to go to sleep, I can have my eyes open or I can have them shut. It doesn't matter. I can see extremely detailed images of people and different scenarios. And I think it is just, I have a vivid imagination and a creative imagination. And it's just images as I'm kind of winding my brain down to go to sleep. And I don't know if anyone else experiences that, but I have them on a pretty regular basis if I am. And it's mostly when, you know, the room's dark, I'm winding down, and it's not scary. I just think it's my brain, and I'm thinking things. I'm imagining people, processing the day. Almost every time I can remember a dream when I wake up, I can tie it to something that's happened in my life. And I think that dreams and our sleep process is, there's so much they don't know. You know, they're studying dreams and all of that. But, you know, other people that have the images I do as they're going to sleep would think that they were being visited by spirits. But I just think it's my creativity, brain, processing the day, chilling out, trying to get to sleep. That's my interpretation.
And if you believed in spirits, you would think they were spirits.
No, not particularly, because I've done a lot of dream work. And I think you're right. It might be just revisiting things that have happened, because some of the theories are that our dreams help us work through things in our daily life that are difficult. Sometimes, you know, you're maybe running away from something that's chasing you, or maybe there's something unresolved. And through our dreams, it's almost like we can do a drama or a play. And it's interesting enough so we pay attention to it, but it helps us also work on things that are difficult during the day. So imagination, dreaming, those are different. But I was talking about during the day, wide awake, walking into a tree for a few minutes, and images came before my eyes. So it's a little different than when you're in bed laying down or when you're dreaming.
So these dreams, we say working out things that happened during the day. Is this true whether you remember the dreams or not?
Well, yes, absolutely.
Sometimes I will wake up in the morning mad at somebody for something that had been going on for quite a while.
Me. You're always mad at me.
There's always a good reason to be mad.
Well,
surely.
Yeah. At least critical, if not angry.
Hey, I got to go back on your past life thing. It was funny when I was younger. I can't remember. A friend of mine, his mom, was like really into it. That's the first time I experienced it and everything. And I mean, she'd sit there and she kept going back to the psychiatrist to go back further and further. And I mean, this lady went back to like Roman times and had it, and had a story, she would sit there and just go, and I mean, just her vivid of the history of the surroundings, where she was at, everything was just like, she's either really, really good and studied history and like really, really good at telling a story, or she's just telling it like it was. Because we'd sit there and I would talk to the kids afterwards. I go, man, is your mom for real? And they go, oh yeah, she's been doing this for the last few years. And it's like, and you said, you know, you did that. And it's funny.
I was in Egypt, in ancient Egypt, in the pyramids.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah. I did that, but that was on a peyote trip in the desert back in the 70s. I mean, but no, seriously. there's those times too. But hey, and you can't pass those by either. No. People have had hallucinogenic experiences on acid and on peyote and stuff like that, that are like where they're doing the same thing, you know, and there's been experiments and all that good stuff. So it's very interesting, that past life thing. But what's funny is with you, that you draw a line though, when you said that the ghost thing and everything, I got kind of like silly, but the past life thing is groovy. Because well, to me, I would think it's all spiritual, and if it goes around a spirit that is not ready to go to heaven or hell or had a violent death or something like that, as they say, be stuck here. I can see that, you know, I can see that happening, you know.
Does everybody remember Bridie Murphy? Do you remember the Bridie Murphy stories? You might not be old enough to have remembered it, but it was in the news, and it was a great big story for quite a while. And this is a gal, I forget how old she was, but she was, at any rate, she was this woman in America. Her name was Bridie Murphy, and she insisted that she lived in Ireland, and she went back to Ireland. And she went to the village just exactly as she described it, and there were her children. I mean, they knew her, and she knew them, and this was a big deal, because she had died and been reborn while she still had living children. It was really remarkable, and nobody ever put that down. It seemed like that was...
I did hear that story. Real. I just didn't know the name there, but okay, yeah, that is a familiar story. See, that's amazing. See, stuff like that happens, and what are you going to do? How do you explain it?
It either happens or it's reported that it happens.
Yeah.
Ray, I have a question for you on the past lives, because I know you're kind of skeptical. Whenever people talk about their past lives, they're usually pretty good stories. Why isn't somebody ever just a peasant in the rice fields?
He said he was
in Egypt, and there, and well, it was historical, and he was a sailor and washed up dead. I mean,
well, that's not necessary. I mean, it were millions or thousands and thousands of sailors, and I was a kid in the Dust Bowl. That's not an exotic story by any means, and it kind of explains my, you know, my feeling towards that whole type of thing, the barns and animals and things like that.
Well, I have deja vu moments, and I used to think that they were, that was just such a weird feeling.
It is. And we all have those sometimes.
But as I've gotten older and I've really paid attention to them, most of the time when I have a deja vu moment, I can connect it to something else in my current life. If I as I got, you know, just over the years, I started really paying attention, because they really are freaky. I mean, when you have those deja vu moments, you're like, but it is something that I have experienced before.
I had a dream quite often about a house, and being under the stairs, hiding under the stairs in a closet. And I didn't understand, I was young, why I kept dreaming this. And then one day I was walking on the street with my mother, a place we'd never been before, and I saw this house, and I said to my mother, that's how I know that house. And she said, no, we've never been here before. And I said, but I know that house. And I went inside, and there was the stairs in the closet. And after that, I never had that dream again. And I remember my brother, when our father died, he just had a really hard time. He couldn't seem to let go of it. And he had a good relationship with our father, but he just couldn't let go. So he was driving along in Los Angeles, where my parents used to live when he was young, and something kept telling him to take one street and then another street and another street. And for some reason, he just kept following. And he parked the car, and something told him to walk up the sidewalk. He walked up the sidewalk, put his hand on the doorknob, and all of a sudden, his grief was completely gone. He couldn't understand. It was all resolved. And he talked to my mother later, and my parents had lived in that apartment when he was a little boy. So I don't need to explain these things. I appreciate the mystery in life, and I don't want to limit my thinking by putting, you know, if I can't scientifically explain it, it doesn't exist. It doesn't matter to me what the answer is. I just know what the experience was.
And I will jump in at this point and talk about if you can't scientifically explain it in a sense. We know roughly about 10%, rough guesstimate, of everything there is to know, which I don't know how they came up with that figure. There's so much unknown in the universe, and scientists are the first to admit that there's a lot of unknown. And there's a phenomenon that I find particularly interesting, and it's called, it's in particle physics, and it's called quantum entanglement. And essentially what they do in the lab is they take a particle, one of these very fundamental parts of things, everything, our table, our microphones, us, everything that's made up of particles. But anyway, they take these specific particles, and they generate them in pairs. And the particle will have a spin on it. And so if one's got a clockwise spin on it, it turns out that the other one will too. And then they can separate the particles and move them to like opposite parts of the lab. And they somehow still know what the spin is. So if you change the spin on one, the other one changes as well. There are forces that exist within the universe that we just have no grasp of, and that's one of them. And what I find very interesting about this particular, particularly now that the quantum computers are something that they're talking about bringing online, what I fantasize, and this is just strictly a fantasy, is that this quantum entanglement, these particles that are somehow communicating with one another, could conceivably be used to make the contact with the aliens on the other side of the universe where the speed of light doesn't cut it, trying to get there in a rocket ship doesn't cut it. There's just no way to traverse the distance. However, I think there are forces within the universe that travel at faster than the speed of light, the quantum entanglement, that may one day enable us to communicate with other entities.
Well, I think, you know, when you look at the identical twin studies about these children, these babies who are separated at birth, live in different parts of the country world, and yet they are feeling the same things. They're feeling what the other one is feeling. I mean, there's lots of studies about how can this be? What is this connection that we can't explain?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I mean, we can all feel the energy. You just go into a room and you can have an amazing feeling of warmth and joy and comfort and contentment. You can go into another and all of a sudden you don't know what it is. You don't know what the energy is. You don't know if it's the people that are there. And it's a very uncomfortable situation. So there's, yes, we are energy. We live among beings that also radiate energy.
So are more people receptive to this type of thing than others? My sister-in-law, who has since died, would get feelings when we went certain places and she just wanted to leave. There was a particular bar in Alaska that was about a 100-year-old cabin, and it had been turned into a bar and tiny little place and a sawdust floor and everything. And we went in there for a drink one time and she just got bad feelings. She wanted to leave. And there were other times in other places she did the same thing.
I went into a motel in Humboldt, and I was going to spend the night there with some friends. And I walked into the motel room and I just was drawn to the bedroom. And I went over by the closet and I had this horrible feeling. And I told my friends, we have to leave. There's something wrong here. We went up to the desk and asked for another room. A young girl had been murdered in that closet.
Wow.
I don't know what that was, but it was so overpowerful, I had to get out of the room.
Teresa, you look like you just don't want to believe any of this.
Hey, I got to go on the deja vu thing, though, because that's the one thing. It's funny, you know, you had your past life experience and then the ghost stories and all that stuff. But the one thing I did do or have experienced is deja vu over the years. So there is something to that, because with me, it was when I was at a young age, when I was a kid, is when it really happened a lot. And I would sit there and have a dream. And which I don't dream really right now, but back then I used to dream all the time, I guess, and everything. But I would sit there and have this vivid dream, and I would, you know, you forget about it the next day and all that good stuff, time goes by. But whenever I had a deja vu experience, I noticed that it would be within a 1 to 2 week period that that would happen. And I would be walking up, and I mean, I would like see the whole thing happening. And it might be after I shook this person's hand or met this person or did this thing or whatever the heck I was doing, it would just snap. All of a sudden, I'd sit there and I'd go, whoa. And then it depends on where I snapped into it at it, whether I would kind of get a feeling of where I was supposed to go the rest of the, through the whole, the rest of the thing. I'd kind of just follow. I don't know. It was just weird. It was deja vu all over again. But it was just, I that is something I have experienced and quite a bit. And, you know, it's just, it's a weird feeling.
Marcia, your last story did get me.
And Chase, I've been trying to get you for years.
I know. But, so I, and Shirley made the comment, actually, you didn't see it. I mean, I was like thinking about it and wow. And then as Bruce was talking, I was still thinking about your story and the murder in the hotel. And it's possible. I am a skeptic. Maybe you did feel that energy and it was there. You felt something. But somebody being murdered in the room, what if the hotel clerk was just playing along?
Well the weird thing is that I actually found out because the music teacher, who actually used to be my son's music teacher, I found out was in love with his student, and it was the student that was killed, and he actually murdered her.
Yeah.
In the motel room, so it is a true story.
Yes, he murdered her out by the river and took her into the closet. And
but see, you're still trying to find a reason not to believe that.
Well, and so, Marcia, you know, maybe you knew about that story. I'm not totally questioning
you. Know
you.
What
I'm
I
just
think?
Saying that when scientists go in to a pair, nobody ever got the $1 million. I think that, I mean,
well, it's I didn't one, have an opportunity.
Yeah, but
well.
That's one story. What I'm telling, I'm just going to be a little psychotic here. No,
ooh.
Psychic.
No. You got it right the first time,
you
Shirley.
You said psychotic, Shirley. We've got you on
no,
record.
No, I really think that you don't want it to be true. I think you don't want to see those people as maybe people that are around you for a purpose because they're guiding you in your life. I think you want to go to the scientific side of everything because you don't really want to be drawn into that. And there could be a reason.
I actually miss being more mystical and believing in that. I do. But
so I was right?
You were right. You were psychic. I feel very strong present. I guess I feel like I connect to my lost loved ones. There's so much part of me. If I'm cooking a turkey, my grandmother is in the room with me. I almost can talk to her. But that's my brain and her memory. I mean, I'm powerful enough to bring her back in my own mind. I don't need to explain it to the paranormal that she's coming back to visit me. And so that's how I see it. I definitely have a presence of my grandmother. And I feel her when I'm cooking. I, you know, a big fan, because she loved to do that. And I carry on this kind of connection to her. But it's just my memory of her and my wonderful, vivid imagination. So that's how I explain it.
We only have a couple minutes left, yeah. And I'd like to ask Kit about one thing. People have learned, apparently, at your business that there are aliens on Earth to protect the Earth, and some of us are aliens, and we don't know that.
The aliens are here. Good grief. Can't you remember when you were kids, you looked up all those stars, and you thought, we can't possibly be the only people here. We can't possibly. Hanging there in the middle. And as your life keeps going, you get a little hint here and a little hint there and a little hint there, and you find out it's all true. You come in, Teresa, and we'll take care of you.
You'll be a believer.
Come right into Gypsies.
I'm not doubting that there are people on other planets or creatures or paramecium or whatever, but the idea that there are aliens walking among us to save the Earth, and that some of us may be aliens and we don't know. Now, Dan and
when I help you, you'll be glad, okay?
Dan and I know somebody that we consider to be an alien. But is this something that is part of your philosophy over there? Or?
Do you know, I hear so many things. we have these belief systems. We come into this world, and man, the first thing that we do is we cry, and somebody picks us up, and our first belief is, if I cry and cry, somebody's going to take care of me. And then the next belief comes along, and the next one, and the parents are saying, no, 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 no. So you learn, oh, no, don't touch that, don't do that. And we keep getting beliefs, and we get them from our friends, and we get them from society, we get them from the church, we get them from the school, we get them from the government. And one day we wake up and we say, who am I? Who the heck am I? And when you get to that point, you start taking those Band-Aids off. Is this my belief or is this somebody else's? And you just keep going and you keep going and you find out more and more about who you are, what you believe in. What is your belief, not somebody else's? And to me, that's the whole secret of life.
So do you believe there are aliens?
I believe there are aliens on the Earth. I believe that they've known that for so long, and the government has known. We've got the UFOs. They've got UFOs that they've made. Our own government has made UFOs. And I do believe that you do see them. How many of you have seen a UFO? Okay, Marcia? Yep.
Well,
you've seen them.
But you think there are aliens walking among us? Shirley, yes. Could be an alien? Or
I think Shirley is.
Certainly Dan.
That's what I'm saying.
We've gotten to know Marcia a little bit better tonight. And you win the prize, by the way, for the spookiest story.
I'm pretty spooky.
Yeah. I want to throw in one more name, and that's Darren Brown. He's English. He's had a TV show. And that's spelled D-E-R-R-E-N, for those of you who have your pencils and are taking notes. Darren Brown is a skeptic, but he's also a mentalist, and he is spooky. Go to YouTube and look up Darren Brown, and this is a guy that will just absolutely amaze you. One of the things that, in one of his videos that he did, put in chess, the chess game, he played 9 chess masters simultaneously and defeated 5 out of 4 of them. He tells you how he does it in the show, but he's one of those who shows you all of this great stuff that is so spooky, and he reads minds, and he is just great at it, and yet he's a skeptic. He doesn't believe in it at all.
Okay, the man that...
you'll believe when it happens to you.
The man that twists the dials tells us we're almost out of time. Anybody want to have a last thought before we move along tonight?
Well, as life goes on, humans will always be fearful of things that go bump in the night. So yep. There you go. No matter what your beliefs, you're always going to fear what goes bump in the night.
I have things go bump in the night, but they have 4 legs and a tail, and they squeak.
Yeah.
Oh, I have one quick little story. This happened quite a few years ago, but my sister invited me to come to meet somebody that she had met that she liked very much, and she thought I would enjoy meeting her. And she said, come and meet Joan. She's really a good friend. So I went, and I walked up to her, and I said, Claire. And she said, Sally. And I knew her as Claire. That's not who she was in this life. And I certainly wasn't Sally, but we knew each other immediately. And we called each other by name, you know, and she turned out to be a person unlike anyone else that I can imagine in my life, who was completely without judgments, and she was a very highly spiritual person, and I just connected with her and knew her intimately, and I thought she was my mother. It was really neat.
Well, only thing I have to say is I have to go home in the dark now.
Oh, yes, you do.
I'm very frightened.
There's almost a full moon tonight, so it's not quite as dark.
Yeah, but you know what happens in a full moon. Now we're going to have almost werewolves on there. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
All right.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program.